Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to a live edition of Keeping It Reals. This is your host, Eduardo M. Fryer. Yeah, we were supposed to be here last week for some Cinco de Mayo fun, but you know what? Stuff happened, real life happens, and well, everybody had things that they had to take care of, so we're sorry we weren't here. But you know what? Don't worry, because the subject matter will be done at a later date. So yeah, you did not escape it. But you know what we can also not escape? 2 weeks ago, the end came. Avengers Infinity War, the culmination of 10 years of the Marvel Universe in cinematic form, finally arrived. Thanos came, Thanos saw. Did Thanos conquer? Well, for those of you who haven't, for those of you who saw it, well, just, you know what? Just keep listening. You know what? Because here's our review. We promised a couple of weeks, and I'm sure by now enough people have seen it that, well, yeah, we can do this. By the way, speaking of which, if you are listening to this and you have not seen the movie yet, this is your final warning, because there are going to be spoilers, okay? If you don't want to know what happens, if you don't want to know who lives, who dies, and what surprises the movie had, yeah, my suggestion is leave now or forever hold your peace, because we're not getting those messages on Facebook, and we're not getting all those tweets and all those emails that say, "Hey, I didn't know that this happened to Ant-Man in the film. How dare you spoil that for me?" Yeah, we've been saying it. I'm saying it again. Okay, everybody all good? Yeah, everybody's fine? That cool? Good. Okay, so before we get to the nitty-gritty, my wonderful co-hosts are here. And to start things off, we have my always wonderful wife, Patricia. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I wasn't affected by the finger snap, which, yeah, we'll do later. I can see that you aren't, you know, you're not affected either. So that's good. And also not affected is another returning champion, Zion. How you doing, Zion?
A little bit dusty.
Oh. Bad Zion. Bad Zion. Bad. No. Sheesh. We're how many minutes in and we already started with the jokes? You just really know how to turn my mood to ash, Zion. Jeez. But you know what? The third in my little Three Musketeers. You know what? We've got a newbie today. We've got somebody new in the Keeping It Reals roundtable. Let's all give a warm Keeping It Reals, Let's Be Reals welcome to Sean. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Eddie?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. But yeah, welcome. You know, congratulations. You know, you're popping your Keeping It Reals cherry. Great to have you. I will say this, though, after the show, I'm going to need your address, because we're going to send somebody over to brand you the Let's Be Reals tattoo, okay? But, you know, we'll do that after the show, and don't worry, because I've been promised by Iggy that it's no longer scalding hot, and yeah, the really itchy burning feeling is going to disappear now within a day instead of a week, okay? She gave me her word, so you should be all good.
It's okay. She lives right next to me. She's already branded me.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what, Iggy, if you're listening to this, thank you. Okay. You know, I kind of wish you hadn't jumped the gun, but you know what? Great. That gets that out of the way. Did she also give you your membership packet?
Yeah, when she made me join a panel.
Ah, okay. So you got the membership packet. Good. You've sold your soul over. Okay. Well, that's good. Good. You know what? That means less business that we have to do after showtime. Which is good, because now we're getting into the meat and potatoes of this, which is, yep, Avengers Infinity War. I just got to start off by saying, Patricia and I, we just got back from watching it for the second time. I have to give you credit for that, Trish. You're the one who said, yeah, let's watch it today. You know, let's find a showing so it's fresh in our minds. I just got to say, you know what? Awesome idea. Did she get dusted? Oh my god! Don't tell
I don't
me.
Know.
Thane. Don't. Oh, okay. Oh, go. Oh, thank. Okay. Okay. Oh. 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 Wow. Okay. All right. Cool. Okay. Good. Whew. Thank you. Okay. Whew. For a minute there, I thought Thanos snapped his fingers again and was like, "You know what? My plan was flawed. I'm gonna do 75% instead of 50." Oh, jeez. Yeah. Oh, thank. But again, I was, you know, I was giving you praise because you had an awesome idea for seeing the movie again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was Billy walked into the room, and so I muted this for a second because we were talking a little bit, and I totally missed what you said.
Okay. Well, tell Billy. Shame on you. Shame on him for distracting you. Okay. I'm not mad, but you know what? I'm slightly disappointed because you know what? You're on Showtime mode now. Okay. Okay. Unless the dogs are like beating up a coyote, and Billy wants you to take video and show it off on social media, then yeah, no, you're doing game face right now, okay? It's game face time. But yeah,
right,
speaking of game faces, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was a good idea to go see the movie again today because it's always better to see a movie twice, I think, because the first time you don't know what to expect and emotions are everywhere.
Yeah. Well, not to mention, I think when we saw it opening night, there were a lot of people like laughing at stuff. So we kind of missed some dialogue here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
did that,
true.
Zion, did that happen with you? Did you lose any dialogue because of audience reaction?
No, I didn't lose any dialogue, but like toward the end, my sinuses started coming up too much dust.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we know the feeling. What about you, Sean? Were you able to watch without too much audience participation, as it were?
I was able to get the dialogue very well. One of the funniest things that happened was there was just a moment of complete dead silence, and there's just a kid in the background. Wait, what? The entire theater died.
Oh, see, we told you spoilers. See, we told you spoilers. See, we told you. If you weren't believing me, there you go. We got our first one. But you know what? We'll elaborate more on that. One thing though,
soon.
You know, what some people may not realize because they're not like me. They're not Sean. Are you a big comics guy?
I am.
Okay, like how
I actually have
you...
an issue. I actually have mm-hmm. an issue of Infinity Gauntlet sitting right in front of me right now.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Issue one?
Issue one, yep.
Yeah, issue one that's
signed
that
by
awesome...
George Perez.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, hold it. Hold it. Holy shit. Okay, so you have Infinity Gauntlet number one signed by George Perez.
I
but
do.
Like
I've actually got four copies.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Okay, I really hope you put that thing under, like, bulletproof glass and have it guarded by, like, you know, I hope you have it guarded by, like, you know, monks that have sworn a vow of, like, you touch this comic only when I'm dead. Okay, please tell me that's, like, the situation. Because, I mean, not only is Infinity Gauntlet number one, but if it's signed by George Perez, that takes it up a level.
It does. Well, I mean, we've got Wong guarding it, obviously.
Okay. All right. That's good.
But no, these sit with cardboard backing and a temperature controlled area of the house, like well guarded. But the issue that I have in front of me right now is actually my, you can read this if you want to issue, because we used to run a comic book shop. So this is our, hey, we've got this issue. Read it. Now buy one.
Okay. So that's the one that it's okay to flip through the pages, and if like a tiny little bit of, you know, if a tiny little bit of something gets on, it's not going to mean death. Oh, okay. You know what? Very smart. Very smart. I like that.
At least
I
put
like
on
that.
Gloves.
Yeah, at least put on gloves. There you go. Okay. But see, this is the thing. I think there may still be some people who don't know. Infinity War, the idea behind Thanos as this big threat, gathering the Infinity Stones, that started with the comic book Infinity Gauntlet. Now, just a little bit, I do want to clarify something, okay? Because some people might start to get confused. There is a comic book called Infinity War, but that was the sequel to Infinity Gauntlet, and that had something different. That involved another cosmic threat, and these interdimensional creatures that got transformed into kind of broken versions of Marvel heroes. But it did lead into Infinity Gauntlet. But if somebody says, if you see like on the shelf in Barnes and Noble or at a comic shop, if you see something that says Infinity War, that's not it. That is not the one that inspired this movie. Okay? Go for what says Infinity Gauntlet. The best way is you look for a comic and it should have Thanos on the cover, like wielding the gauntlet. Chances are it's the cover to issue number one, back when it was like separate comics. And that'll have like Thanos front and center. He has the gauntlet like in his fist. He's kind of surrounded by this little collage of different characters. Okay, that's what you look for. Okay. Essentially,
Infinity Gauntlet came out in 91, while Infinity War came out in 92, just for a little bit of, if you want to like break it down even further.
Yep. Did you read Infinity Gauntlet and or War?
Mm-hmm.
Read
yep.
both or just okay. And
yeah.
I know and Trish, I know you probably haven't read the comics.
No, I haven't.
Yeah. No, but I did. But I do remember I did fill you in on a couple of things. So she's not. So we're not totally lost. I will say though, the build up is almost, it's kind of the same. One of the first things off the bat, one of the things I do have to say is, in the film, Thanos' portrayal, I don't know what everybody else thinks, but to me, it puts him kind of on the top of the pantheon of good Marvel villains. You know, it's
are we talking about in terms of the cinematic universe or just Marvel movies
in terms of the cinematic universe, in terms of like the villains that we've had from Loki to, from Loki to
Ultron.
Eric Killmonger, Ultron, I would say that this, especially with this movie, that Thanos is now like top five, maybe even top three.
I put Thanos at the top.
At the top, like number one.
Very top, top.
Mhm.
So he
killed half the universe. Of course.
Bingo.
Okay. Okay. Well, no.
What else that would be worse? Come on.
Okay. Well. Okay. You know what? That is a good point. He did kill half the universe. But the thing that I like is that his motivation, like in a very twisted sense, his motivation has a bit of, I don't know, like he embodies, again, the best villains, Killmonger's in this. One of the things he embodies is his whole, the idea that he had, he is not doing it out of malice, but rather out of kind of misplaced sense of, of mercy, like he's doing you a favor, like he sees you're in pain and it's like, no, I've got the solution. Okay, you're hungry, you don't have a place to live, you're struggling for resources. Don't worry, I got you. Okay, I got you. By the time I'm done, there's going to be enough for you. I mean, mind you, it does involve killing half of the local, and it comes up to killing half the universe, but in his mind, it's like, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. Let Daddy Thanos handle it. Okay? It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. We're going to solve this. The thing, though, and this is similar to Infinity Gauntlet, because the genesis of Gauntlet was actually like this all started in the Silver Surfer comic, because that's mm-hmm. where Thanos came back, and that's where he was like, okay, there's a problem here, and I'm going to solve it, and the way to do it is I'm going to kill half the universe. Now, of course, the thing that we didn't get in the movies is what gets him on this path. Now, Trish, I know I gave you some background. How is it that Thanos comes on this idea that there's a problem that requires killing half the universe?
Didn't you tell me that his girlfriend, Death, is the one that gave him the idea?
Yep. Wow. Well, yep. You're a good student, Trish. A+, gold star. For those who are not. Thank you. Well, that was one of the times. Thank you. Remind me to reward you later. that came out wrong. Or right. This is, after all, keeping it real. This is after all, Iggy's vision. So yeah, in the comics, Thanos is literally in love with Death. There's, you know, the comics, there's a manifestation of Death itself, and Thanos is like, wow, you're hot. Hey, chicks with skulls for heads and purple robes. Yeah, I dig it. That's my fetish.
I mean,
and you,
she did bring him back from the dead. So
yeah. She did.
There might be some Stockholm syndrome there.
Well, he liked her before that, but you know, her bringing him back to the land of the living, you know, that's kind of one of those things of, hey, honey, I owe you. What do you need? But yeah, Death was the one who kind of told him, so yeah, you got the hots for me. Listen up. You know, I'm here in the realm of the dead, and I've kind of noticed an imbalance, and you got to take care of that. So, you know, she did, I think, her best puppy dog eyes, and it's like, do you love me? Do you really, really love me? Could you, like, write this imbalance for me? Thanks. Thank you. I mean, well, probably
but Ed, what
not
was
like
that?
That.
What was the imbalance,
was
though? More people were living than had ever died.
Right, exactly.
She wasn't
exactly.
happy about
it. Yeah. I mean, there's a part now. This is like first question to the group. They obviously took that. They didn't reveal that in the movie. Whether or not
mm-hmm.
they reveal something like that, like in Avengers 4, is yet to be determined, but chances are no. What do you guys think? You know, what do you guys think of the fact that they left the whole, you know, manifestation of Death and that whole imbalance out? Like, Sean, you're the comic store owner guy. What do you think?
I think it changes Thanos' motivation because, I mean, you've got the whole background with Gamora and all of that, which we can go into later. And then you've got Thanos' motivation because the fact that Titan itself crumbled because there was not enough for everyone. And then they just kept using and using until it fell apart. So it completely changes his motivation.
But I mean, would you say
it makes him
more
likable? It makes him more likable as a villain. Like, you empathize with him.
I feel like it makes him a bit more believable in terms of, like, mass viewing, because, like, people who don't read the comics, I feel like they would have taken that he actually fell in love with the embodiment of Death as kind of, like, stupid or something.
Yeah. Or at least that kind of makes him a little less likable because, you know, he's basically, like, letting this ghost tell him what to do. And,
at least,
you know, and it's like... And the nobility, I would think, kind of, it kind of loses a little bit of it. I mean, it's still, like, even with what just we have in the movies, it's still questionably, the nobility is questionable. But it would be even more so if we actually had, you know, a woman in, like, a purple robe with, like, a skull for a face, like, saying, yeah, could you just kill a bunch of people? I mean, Trish, you're not, you know, you're not familiar with the comics, but what do you think?
No, I don't know. It's hard to form an opinion.
Okay, but I mean, does that, you know, from what you've heard about, you know, the comics and stuff, I mean, does, as someone who's never read them, does the motivation work more, does the movie motivation work more for you, or you know, having, like, Death as a girlfriend?
Oh, I don't know. The death as the girlfriend would mean having to introduce another character. And if we have another character, I think it's, you know, it's kind of actually a bit more effective to have Thanos be just the bad guy on his own, you know, instead of, you know, him being influenced by another person. Although some people say that, I've heard some people have an opinion that maybe there will be, you know, we'll find out in the next one, there will be, we'll get to meet the person that influenced him to do this.
Yeah.
So
I do. Yeah. I do remember that, in the lead into Thor Ragnarok, you know, when we had that coming out, that some people were wondering, was Hela going to be like a stand-in for the embodiment of death, since she's a death goddess herself? I mean, we see now that, yeah, not quite. I do like, though, that in the beginning, like when Thanos did that first cameo in the first Avengers movie, that we did get kind of a little nod to his motivations, in the sense that his acolyte, you know, whatever that guy was supposed to be, was saying, they say to invade Earth is to court death, and Thanos kind of had that grin on his face like, okay, I can dig it. Yeah, all right, that sounds cool. So, you know, I do like that at least we had a nod like that, but I do happen to think that the cinematic motivations, the cinematic, you know, raison, that works. You know, it's, I mean, I don't think you really need the embodiment of death. Something, and then as far as the, you know, and then also in the film itself, I've heard, you know, I have heard people complaining, especially because I saw a reviewer for The New Yorker. I forget the name, but, and I don't know if anybody else has read this, but basically they were ragging on the nature of the film, and they were saying, like, well, this film is really an ad for all the previous movies. And it's just one of these things that, like, first of all, that pissed me off, especially because this reviewer, well, first of all, it felt like the reviewer was not a comics guy, that he's one of these reviewers that just is not going to go into the idea of comic book based movies, and, you know, sanity be damned, you know, he's not going to change his mind. So he's going in already biased, and then not even, like, paying attention to the fact that this is never, like, I don't know about anybody else, but I have never seen anything about Infinity War that tells me that this movie is not a, you know, basically this giant party to celebrate all these films finally coming together in one big story. I mean,
right.
Sean, did you go in thinking, you know, oh man, what am I going to do? No one, you know, I've seen all the movies, but, you know, my date hasn't. Oh, wow, she's going to be lost. How dare you, Russo brothers? I mean, did you go in with that? Because
no, not at all.
I mean, did you?
And I did.
Zion,
I went,
did you?
Mm-mm. Nope. My friend that I went to go see it with has only seen Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, and I believe Iron Man 1, and followed the movie completely through with no problem.
Okay, see, there you go. There you go. Okay, well, they've seen some movies, but yeah, Sean, you were saying?
My date has seen most of the movies. I think she's seen all of them. I mean, I did go with a date, obviously.
Yeah.
but when it came down to it, like, I wasn't worried. And even watching the movie, without context from other movies, the only movie that I feel like you need to see before Infinity Gauntlet is Thor Ragnarok to understand what's going on with the very opening scene.
She
hadn't seen that one.
Okay, so she didn't understand. Yeah, and even then, with Ragnarok, one of the things about it is, not only did you need to have seen the movie, but you needed to have understood that, you know, you need to have seen the movie and you need to have stayed till the end credits, which is where you have like a brief scene where Thanos' ship, Sanctuary, actually shows up, and, you know, everybody's kind of looking at it like, okay, what's going on here? Now, that does bring us to kind of the first thing. There is a there's a missing person from that scene. You know, we do get Thor, you know, we do get this kind of aftermath. You know, it looks like whatever battle happened had already happened, and the Asgardians were on the losing end. We see Heimdall die, you know, although Heimdall kind of went out like a champ because, you know, he took one to make sure that the rest of the universe was warned that, you know, this shit's going down. You know, we saw Loki kind of get a somewhat noble end. You know, he also kind of took one for, the universe, trying to get Thanos and failing. Does anybody notice there was no Valkyrie?
Yep.
Tessa Thompson's Valkyrie was MIA. I will say this. I have read the Russo brothers did say, no, she's alive. She's alive. She didn't get killed off screen. And Thor did say, when the Guardians picked him up, he did say that Thanos killed half the population of Asgard. So I imagine either some lifeboats were involved, or, you know, some of the bodies we may have seen floating around, or, you know, on the ground in the, on the ship may have been alive. Now,
even though they did give that statement, I really, really would have liked to have seen it, at least.
Seen what? Some Asgardians kind of around? Or, you know, Valkyrie kind of, hanging around?
Yeah, like, just to see what exactly happened with Valkyrie, because I have this thing where, like, if you have to tell the audience that so-and-so happened when someone said it's in the movie, it wasn't executed properly. So, like,
okay,
that's just
so
me
show,
just
don't tell.
Thinking, like, yeah, show, don't tell.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, although I do have to give the film at least a little bit of an inch because, you know, we are dealing with, 20-some-odd
characters?
Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, already you had some people reduced to just a cameo. Like, Wong was just there for that one, you know, that one battle between Strange, mm-hmm. Iron Man, Hulk, Spider-Man, and the two, you know, the two members of Thanos' Black Order. You know, poor Pepper just gets to, you know, chat with Tony Stark about whether or not they get to have a kid, and, you know, about how she's kind of tired with all this superhero nonsense, whatnot. And then, you know, in comes Doctor Strange, like, hi, you know, we're meeting for the first time, and guess what? I need you for superhero nonsense. You know, of course, I'm sure, Trish, you let your feelings about Gwyneth Paltrow. You don't keep them very closed off. I'm guessing you were happy that she was kind of reduced to, you know, hey, look, it's Gwyneth Paltrow, it's Pepper Potts, and she's no longer in the film.
Yeah, it's, you know, kind of probably too much to hope for that she got dusted with everybody else, but, you know.
To me, I think that this is something that we can, you know, this is something we're going to be discussing later, but I'm kind of the opinion that if you did not see them get turned into dust, that they are probably still alive. You know, unless like they do, in one of the other issues of Infinity Gauntlet, there's a moment where you have a bunch of heroes gathered together at Avengers Mansion, and you have a computer display that is showing all these heroes that went to dust, including basically the entirety of the Fantastic Four, which, to me, I'm kind of like, wow, what did the writer of Fantastic Four do that, yeah, the entire team gets killed off, like, off-panel? It's like, well, we have all this gathering of heroes to, you know, we have to stop Thanos. We're gathering all these heroes, and oh shit, we don't have the Fantastic Four. Oh, darn it.
Goodbye.
It's like, wow, what happened during the editorial meeting when they're trying to decide on this big event? And it's like, oh yeah, and the Fantastic Four are not going to take part. They're going to be dead. It's like, I can just imagine the writer.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Wait, what happened?
X-Men is what happened, and their booming popularity while Fantastic Four's popularity really dipped in the early 90s.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, probably.
Bad runs.
Although
terrible runs.
Yeah,
This is what post John Byrne Fantastic Four.
Yeah, post Byrne. I'm trying to remember who it was that had the title at the time. I think I wanna say it was maybe Simonson. I would need to double check. But
I would
yeah.
need to double check. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we. The other, so yeah, we do, one of the things, one thing I do, back to the film, one thing I do like is, I found interesting is how, you know, we have all these heroes and kind of how they paired them off. You know, we start off with Doctor Strange, Wong, Iron Man, Banner, and Spider-Man dealing with New York, and then Banner gets left behind while Spider-Man and Iron Man try to rescue Doctor Strange, and Wong just kind of goes back to the Sanctum like, okay, yeah, Sanctum unguarded, lots of magical treasure, and we already have a shitload of characters that are going to be in this movie, so I'm out. I'm out, bitches. Hopefully I'll see you in the next movie. And then ultimately, I know ultimately we have Strange, Iron Man, and Spider-Man teaming with most of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I do like the teaming up of Spider-Man and Iron Man, Strange, and the Guardians.
I do agree, but this is just me. I'm tired of seeing Peter and Tony together. I just want to get one movie in without seeing Tony and Peter together, at least just once. Because like, Peter, I read a lot of Spider-Man. Spidey is not attached to the hip like how Tony is in the cinematic universe. I understand that to bring him in, this is the way that they had to do it. But they don't have to be attached to the hip like how they've been for, this is like the third movie they've been in together, and they've literally been attached to the hip.
So you kind of want...
Whenever Peter, Spider-Man, Tony somewhere around.
You want Peter to go off on his own, right? Like, just to be his own guy.
Yes. Because that's how Peter learned. Being by himself. He learned being Spider-Man by his own mistakes and getting out of his own things by himself. That's what I had wrong with Homecoming, was that when he was fighting Vulture, and Iron Man just came out of nowhere and busted him out with a get out of jail free card. I was like, that's not how Spider-Man learns how to deal with his villains.
Yeah.
But I can live with it.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll have to see what happens with Avengers 4, because, you know, there may be a chance that Peter's going to have to learn on his own. Because, you know, poor Robert Downey Jr., you know, that contract is expiring, which also kind of led a lot of people to think that with this movie that Iron Man and or Cap were going to die. Yeah. You know, I can see your point, though, Zion. But one thing I do like, though, you know, while they were attached to the hip, I thought it was kind of fun having like a novice hero like Spider-Man. Especially one who's not, you know, who you would not, you know, Spidey, I think if you're going to make a list of heroes that you take out into space and like have interacting with the environment, Spider-Man is not one that readily comes to your mind, you know? So it's interesting
you
to
are
see
right.
someone like that.
Personally, I really like the Spidey Iron Man dynamic. I do enjoy the Spider-Man comics, and I actually am sad that Andrew Garfield had to stop being Spider-Man because they brought in Tom Holland for the Marvel Cinematic Universe Spider-Man. That was kind of sad because Andrew Garfield did a good job on his own and, you know, Spidey trial and error, but Tom Holland does well. And I think the, you know, kind of father figure, you know, son dynamic that Tony and Spider-Man have going in the movies actually makes not only Tony more likable, but it gives him more motivation to not be crap. He's trying to help somebody else.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I like about it, I forgot, Trish, remind me if I did. One thing I do like is with this father-son dynamic, it means we get less angsting over Uncle Ben. You know, because I know that Uncle Ben is supposed to be like this very important key figure in Spider-Man's life. You know, the one who created that line of "with great power comes great responsibility." But okay, we know we don't need him dragged out all the fucking time. Like,
I mean, we saw what happened in Spider-Man 3.
I think Marvel heard all the complaining people did about Batman v Superman. You know, like, did we really need to watch Batman's parents get killed yet again? And,
yeah.
You know, they were like, oh, okay, maybe we should cut Uncle Ben out of the Spider-Man movie and just be like,
yeah.
You know, oh yeah, he's already gone.
Yep.
You know,
we don't. You know, like, you know the story.
You
know the story. We don't need to go back. Yeah. Which, you know, actually, Trish, you do, you've given me a great segue to jump into, which is
okay.
That, you know, because you mentioned Batman v Superman, you mentioned the DCEU, which is, I think that's what they're called.
Sorry about
that's
that.
The shorthand for their cinematic universe. We said this when we first saw the movie opening night. I've said this a bunch of times. If Infinity War was written the same way that movies have been written, then you would have not had the level of humor, the level of fun that this movie had. Because, I mean, for a movie that ends with a huge chunk of its cast dying, this had a lot of funny moments. This had a lot of holy shit, this is awesome moments. And, you know, that is once again this giant neon sign that you hang over that says this is why the MCU movies are making a shit ton of money, and this is why Warner Brothers and DC are struggling with their cinematic universe. Okay? Because,
I mean, DC...
You know, this... Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, DC Comics has always tried to be dark and edgy, and Marvel has always kind of tried to add in that little bit of comedic flair. Even in the comics, like DC
yeah.
is the,
well,
you know, edgy brother.
Well, I don't know. Well, see, I don't know. I don't know if I would agree with you on that, Sean, because I mean, I have seen there are times where actually I think DC is brighter and more full of hope than something Marvel's doing, especially like within the last decade or so, like starting when Marvel did Civil War. But I do see that seems to be front and center as far as their movie universe are concerned. You know, that is like right out there. You know, I will say though, one thing though, I do notice that, you know, and again, coming with the fact that this is what these movies have built up to. We didn't get a lot as far as the Avengers and the split that happened thanks to Captain America Civil War, but it is touched on. You know, we do have Tony hesitant to call Steve Rogers when he's at the Sanctum. We've got Ross, you know, ex-General Ross, now Secretary Ross, you know, just like, oh, Captain America's here. Okay, well, the world is going to shit, but you know what? You're still a traitor, and hey, yeah, Rhodey, can you arrest him, please? You know, you still have that. You know, so I'm glad that, you know, I will say that I am, you know, it's unfortunate that with this movie we didn't have that kind of face-to-face between Tony and Steve Rogers. But it would be interesting to see, you know, hopefully in Avengers 4, all the different groups kind of come together to, you know, gather up who's left standing, you know, to try and see if there's a way to pull out a victory. It would be interesting to see what would happen when the two of them are in the same room together for the first time since Civil War.
And I think that's going to be, I mean, obviously a lot of tension, but I think the fans,
yeah.
all the fans, not just you, are looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And speaking of tension, I noticed that Tony and Doctor Strange didn't get along very well. It is, you know, interesting to point out that Stark has always been a man of science, you know, a man of logic, you know, a man of, you know, whereas the realm that Doctor Strange, you know, is a part of, it's one of those things where the rules that Stark cherishes may not apply, or at least don't apply in the obvious way that Tony's used to.
I mean, Thanos himself breaks those rules, but that's a different story.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That first battle, where it's on the ship and Hulk tries to take on Thanos, and you know Thanos lets him get a couple of punches in, and then it's like, okay, and now you see what I can do because I got this little purple stone in my gauntlet. Yeah, that is something that the minute that Hulk started wailing on Thanos, and then Ebony Maw, the one that's always talking about, you know, it's a blessing to get killed by Thanos.
Voldemort.
Okay, Marvel Voldemort. There you go.
Marvel Voldemort.
We'll call him Marvel Voldemort. Yeah. You know, I mean, when Hulk is fighting Thanos and, you know, he goes, you know, and that, you know, Marvel Voldemort is like, you know, is like, oh, you know, let him have his fun. Like, the minute he said that, I'm going, oh, shit. Thanos is, this is not a problem for Thanos. This is so not a problem. The Hulk is about to get his ass kicked. And wouldn't you know it, as Doctor Strange told Thanos later on, I'm a prophet. You know, I'm a freaking prophet because, yeah, Hulk gets his ass kicked. That's another moment where I thought back to the Infinity Gauntlet comic, because there's like an entire issue. It's like the like third or fourth issue where it's a bunch of heroes, a bunch of Marvel heroes versus Thanos. They all go and attack him, and Thanos, well, first of all, Thanos has the time gauntlet. So the minute they show up, he's like, eh. So you have all these guys ready to throw down, and they're just standing there, like frozen. And Thanos could have ended it there.
Get rid of Hulk.
Yeah.
Put him away.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, Thanos could have gotten rid of them there. He could have just snapped his fingers and, like, gotten rid of them. But in the comics, Thanos has like, on his shoulder a character called Mephisto, who's basically he's Marvel Satan. You know, he's the character that they use when they want to have, like, a stand-in for the devil. Yeah, Mephisto, because, I mean, you know, Thanos loves death, but it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of one-sided because she really doesn't give him the time of day. She almost cock-teases him, basically. And, you know, Thanos is, up till now, Thanos has been frustrated that she's not giving him any love. And so, you know, he's about to wipe out the heroes before it even starts. And Mephisto's like, no. Hey, listen up. She's a woman, right? And don't ladies love it, you know, when their man is all manly and, hey, look at me kick ass? Yeah? Are you feeling me here? So why not show her how much of an awesome guy you are? Show off those purple muscles. And Thanos basically like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. So he pretty much decides to turn off all the Infinity Gems except for the Power Gem. And then, but then we have an entire issue where he just massacres everybody. Like, I think the only people who don't get killed are Hulk and Drax, but they're thrown into a portal and tossed into like dinosaur times.
Yep.
But, you know,
you gotta
Thanos
get
is
rid
just,
of them.
Yeah, well, Thanos uses the power. Thanos is just using the power gem. And let's see, you have Submariner and She-Hulk. They try to attack him, and he creates this growth, which pretty much like suffocates them in fungus. He takes he does like a power blast to power blast duel with Scarlet Witch and vaporizes her. Cyclops tries to attack him, and he puts this block.
He puts
around
a
his head.
On his head.
Well, no, there's like this invisible block. He puts this invisible block around Cyclops' head and suffocates him. Like, Cyclops gets suffocated to death. Vision tries to, like, phase behind Thanos. Thanos, like, grabs him and basically rips wiring right out of his chest. Wolverine stabs him and Thanos turns like his bones, turns like his entire body to rubber. It's implied that he cooks Dr. Doom in his armor. Thor tries to attack him, and Thanos turns him to glass. But before he can do anything, Nova comes in and is like, oh, no one's going to kill my friend while I'm around. And Thanos goes, not round, cubes, as in a child's building blocks. And he turns Nova into a bunch of cubes and then steps on them and then shatters Thor, like as if he was a window. And then
Cap tries to get crushed by a rock.
Yeah, because Thanos at one point gets so pissed off with Death like not showing him any love that he creates his own girlfriend, and said girlfriend like bashes Spider-Man in the chest with a rock. She also rips off Iron Man's head. Like, you know, there's a moment where she tackles Iron Man and then she's like on top of him and you can see she rips his head clean off. It's like he gets decapitated like Jango Fett, basically. But, yeah, and Cap, basically, Thanos, like, kills him with one punch, with, like, one backhanded smack. So, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's one of these things that all these battles, you know, all these battles involving Thanos in the movie, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, I've read the comics, and there's no way these, like, this is, you know, at the worst, people are going to get massacred. The best we can hope for is that they get out-and-out humiliated, which is pretty much what happened. I mean, I'd say the closest the heroes got to, like, victory was when the Guardians and Iron Man and Doctor Strange and Spider-Man coordinated. Yeah, well, I mean, when they all coordinated and they kind of, like, were all just ganging up on him and they were trying to hold him and rip the gauntlet off.
Take the gauntlet, yeah,
that was the closest they got. That was the closest they got to victory if it hadn't been for Star-Lord losing his shit. Because
plan was not supposed to work by any means. So the fact that it failed due to the man that came up with the plan is just golden.
Really?
Also,
now, why would you say
I do not? Because I don't like Star-Lord.
Okay.
It's just me.
Okay, but why would you say the plan wasn't supposed to work? Because it was working until Star-Lord lost his shit.
Because, like, I get that, like, Nebula took the gauntlet when Thanos was in his astral projection form, just gloating and crap. But like,
right in the comics,
he's still in full control of the gauntlet. By no means should a man with webbing be able to try and take off a gauntlet, or even have a chance to take off said gauntlet. At least that's what I'm thinking. Like we're dealing with a thing on such a universal scale as the Infinity Gauntlet, it shouldn't be as easy as, okay, we just need to take the gauntlet off.
Yeah. Well, I will say, though, in defense, I mean, Thanos did have the gauntlet. He didn't have everything. He was still missing the time gem, and he was missing the mind gem. The other thing is that, you know, the way that they were working their plan, the way that they were doing things, it was everybody, like, jumping at him, you know, one right after the other, all at once. And then when Mantis showed up and kind of had his, you know, kind of used her empathic abilities, that, you know, the concentration was blown. You know, it was going from, you know, it's pretty much going from adrenaline rush to, wow, you know, I'm just exhausted. It's the end of the day. It's 5 o'clock. I'm clocking out of my job and I'm just ready to go home and, you know, sit back and pass out on the couch. So, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, I can it's not a perfect plan, but, you know, given the people involved, it was well executed enough that, you know, had everybody kept their cool, they may have at the very least temporarily snatched the gauntlet away and delayed Thanos. Which, you know what, I mean, given, okay, but backtracking a second. You know, Gamora is, you know, well, Loki dies, Heimdall dies. Gamora then ends up being another casualty because we find out that the Soul Stone, which up until Infinity War was totally unaccounted for. You know, we've had all these stones in all these movies, but the Soul Stone has never shown up. And we find out it is on an alien planet and Thanos, you know, Thanos had to go retrieve it. They also, you know, there's also a little bit of a monkey wrench thrown in the sense that it's not just a matter of, oh, well, the guy's holding the stone. Okay, well, nope, now he's not. I killed him. Okay, there you go. Another pretty little babble on my hand. You know, he had to get it through a sacrifice. And the sacrifice, what did he end up sacrificing? Trish?
What?
Okay, Thanos had to get the Soul Stone. We find out that he had to sacrifice something. And what did Thanos have to sacrifice?
The thing that he loved.
Which ends up being
Gamora.
Yep, which I'm kind of curious. Well, first of all,
One question. Okay, when we were rewatching the movie, and there's the part after he snaps his fingers and he's in that kind of weird mythical looking place and stuff. And he said something to me. It said, "Look at the sky," and I had no idea what the hell you're talking about. Explain.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, so end of the movie, Thanos snaps his fingers. We see him in kind of this area, like this open area with a lake. There's kind of this little temple spot in the middle, and baby Gamora is there. And she says, you know, did you do it? And he said, yes. If you look at the sky, it's got kind of a reddish, kind of orangish hue. It was, see, there was a fan theory, which the Russo brothers confirmed. That scene is taking place in the Soul Gem.
Huh.
Thanos is actually talking to Gamora. She's in the Soul Gem.
So that's another thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Where is Adam Warlock?
Oh, boy.
See, okay. All right. So, yeah, Adam Warlock.
I have a theory about that.
Well, it's Adam Warlock. That it looks like Adam Warlock is going to get introduced in the next Guardians film. Did you see Guardians 2, Sean?
I did.
Okay, remember the after credits scene that had the leader of the Sovereign, you know, the gold lady, and she's like, "Oh, I used up all our stuff. You know, this is something I'll use to destroy the Guardians. I shall name him Adam." Adam Warlock
is in.
That's
right. Oh, you're right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I did hear that the screenwriters were thinking of bringing Adam Warlock, but that would be another new character to throw into the mix. You know, when
that
you already have
anything
like,
about.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I got to be honest. Yeah, in the comics, Adam Warlock had been around for
ever.
Approximately by the time that Infinity Gauntlet came out, he had been around for about at least 20 some odd years, if not more, like 20 to 25. So it's one of
those
things.
Along those lines.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where him coming back, especially because when Thanos died originally, it was Adam Warlock who did it. So him coming back to be like, you know, the hero to, you know, oh, evil came back, but look, here's good too. See, that has an impact, but, and while we have had Thanos kind of, you know, pumped up to be the big menace, there's been no sign of Warlock except for one tiny cameo at the end of a movie. So for him to show up as this big hero that can save the day, it's kind of like, okay, what? You know, why shouldn't it be?
Yeah, and also licensing,
you know,
thing.
Well,
they couldn't bring Silver Surfer in. That nobody had any contacts to Destroyer.
Yeah. I couldn't have Surfer. I think I did hear that at one point they wanted to try and have Surfer. Although speaking of what they did have. Yeah.
They replaced Surfer with Hulk, the warning that crashed into the sanctuary instead of Surfer. So I think that was a good substitution.
Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, you know, you don't have to substitute like shot for shot. You don't have to be like, okay, well, we're adapting Infinity Gauntlet, so, oh, we need a stand-in for this character. But yeah, having Hulk was like a fair swap. Like, okay, we don't have a Surfer, but we need somebody to sound the warning
bell.
I gotta say,
I have a question.
Okay.
So like,
the answer is 42. Sorry.
Okay, so like
Sorry.
Now we
okay.
are in the we're in the last bit of, like, phase three, which is, like, the big payoff for, like, the past 10 years, right?
Yep.
This is the biggest event so far in this universe. The Watchers
yep.
exist in this universe, so why aren't they watching?
Who says they're not?
We haven't seen them watching anything.
Okay, but see, the thing is, though, I mean, the thing is, though, is remember, they're about watching and not interfering. They could be watching. They're just, you know, you can't see them because, you know, that would mean, you know, if you catch them, there's the chance that they're interfering.
I mean, who watches the Watchers?
Like, they, like, always show up and like, they don't care who sees them. Like, Wu Tao
always shows
up in a New York at the most randomest times.
Right.
When something big is going down.
Okay, well, what I would probably say in response to that, Zion, is that so far what we've seen of the Watchers is their cameo in Guardians 2.
Yeah.
And
right.
it's kind of one of these things where, again, this is the culmination of like 10 years worth of stuff. And you got to be careful about introducing, you know, it's kind of one thing to give Thanos some minions. And, you know, we also have Peter Dinklage doing a cameo as, you know, the dwarven blacksmith that, you know,
mm-hmm.
helps Thor make his new hammer. You know, it's kind of one thing. You got to be careful when introducing, all these new elements, especially when you have pre-existing elements that you're bringing in. And, you know, we haven't – the Watcher's appearance in Guardians 2 – you know, there was really nothing, you know, there wasn't anything to, like, really fill anybody in as to what they're supposed to be doing, what their job is. So,
which I think we'll get more of in Guardians 3.
Right. Or, you know, or if and when the deal with Fox goes through and we get Fantastic Four back, then we may have that as well. You know, it would kind of be difficult, you know, in a movie already jam-packed, to have a sequence where, you know, one of them is kind of standing on like a hill in Titan and, you know, having the movie have to stop so that, you know, Doctor Strange could be like, that is one of the Watchers, you know, and Iron Man, like, what's he watching for? You know, it's,
and like,
you know, we already have so much going on.
And like, they decided to shoehorn in Red Skull for no reason. So like,
well, okay. Yeah.
They couldn't do that.
Well, okay. Well, okay. That is a good point. That is a good point. I will say, though, to play devil's advocate, at least with Red Skull, that was a plot thread that was hanging from Captain America the First Avenger. Because if you remember, the Tesseract did seem to, like, disintegrate him into a portal, but, you know, that door was kind of open for him to still be alive. This is just saying, oh, for anybody who was wondering if the Red Skull was alive or not, there he is. You know, so
well, and that goes back.
It did plug a hole in.
That goes back to what I said. That goes back to what I said earlier. Where's Adam Warlock? Well, there's your thing. Who's in charge of the Soul Gem? Not Adam Warlock. We can't have him do that. Red Skull. That was kind of their.
Well,
hey, we need somebody
to
be in possession of the Soul Gem.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, he wasn't even really, and I don't even know if we could call him like in charge of it. It was kind of more like somehow the cosmos was going. So much he's just there, but more like, okay, we kind of, you know, this is sort of his punishment, you know, for being somebody who's all like, oh, you know, I want to use the Infinity Stones for an ill purpose. This is kind of the universe going, okay, asshole, you who wanted to be like the center of attention and be like, I conquered the world. Now you're stuck on like, you know, a planet, on a desolate planet in the ass end of the universe, having to watch over the stone, which you can't do shit about. So yeah, congratulations. You know, which by the way, did anybody notice it was a different actor? It was not Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
oh, I didn't notice.
From what I've heard, by the way, yeah, Hugo Weaving was like, okay, yeah, I played a bad guy in a Marvel Comics movie. I fucking hated it. I don't want to do it again. So it does seem like the powers that be were like, oh, okay, asshole. Well, guess what? You get recast. Ha! Ha, you want to be like that? Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you go talk to Terrence Howard and why don't you go talk to Ed Norton? Okay? Yeah, bye. Yeah, bye, Agent Smith.
Poor Ed Norton.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to be like an obnoxious ass and just be like, hey, can I like do stuff with the script? And oh, can we have more for Hulk to do? Well, gee, would it have anything to do with because you're playing Hulk, Ed Norton? Well, yeah, but no, I have these ideas. We'll call you back. It's like, wait, what's this with Mark Ruffalo having my part? Oh, we were just about to call you back. We recast. Shut the fuck up. Which, by the way, yeah, once again, Mark Ruffalo kind of proved, you know, it's that was genius part on the powers that be for the MCU to put Mark Ruffalo in the role. He killed it. Okay. Roundtable discussion. What? Yeah.
Okay. No, go on.
Oh, okay. Roundtable discussion time. Since we brought this up, so Mark Ruffalo basically dominated the action in the movie as far as Hulk Banner is concerned, and we have something about the Hulk not wanting to come out. So what are everybody's theories as to why the Hulk is not coming out? Sean, you first.
I'm glad you asked me to go first because I've got a very good reason. He got the crap beat out of him for the first time by Thanos. Thanos dominated the Hulk for the first time the Hulk has ever been dominated. He's scared. He doesn't want to fight anymore.
Hmm. Really? Okay. What do you think, Zion?
I also agree that he's scared. Also, adding on to that, because like if you go into Thor Ragnarok, right? He was winning all like countless bouts, countless fights for like a long time, and then comes Thanos and completely whoops him with one Infinity Gem. So I can definitely see why the Hulk did not want to come out when Thanos had like 2, 3, all the way to 6 Infinity Gems. So yeah, he was definitely scared.
Okay, what do you think?
Well, Will was just saying that that the Hulk realized that next to Thanos, he's, you know, the most powerful person in the galaxy, and if Thanos is going to bring balance to the galaxy, when he snapped his fingers, Hulk would probably be eliminated because he's the balance of Thanos. And he was scared that he was gonna become dust, basically. So he decided that if he could stay inside, you know, little Bruce Banner, that he had a chance of making it through because he knew that Thanos was gonna more than likely succeed in wiping out half the galaxy or the universe. I mean.
So you kind of agree with Billy's assessment.
Yeah, I guess. And then also maybe it's because he's the only one that can beat Thanos, and he kept himself safe basically from this so that he can come back in the next one and help defeat him.
Interesting. Which by the way, I did, you know, one of the things that was brought up is that there were shots in the trailers leading up to the film's release that did show Hulk in the Battle of Wakanda. And that didn't happen. Yeah, I think it was revealed that those scenes were done deliberately to throw people off, to the idea that Hulk was going to be MIA. Which, by the way, Battle of Wakanda, I would say is probably one of the top three battles in the MCU. Probably even topping the airport battle in Captain America: Civil War.
I would agree.
I mean, I mean, that was just epic.
I love the airport scene way too much.
I love the part when the ladies were fighting each other. All the time.
Oh yeah, you had
yes. Natasha is human.
Oh yeah.
100% fighting against very, very, very powerful beings and holding her own, 100%.
Oh,
I don't understand how, though. I can't justify that somehow.
Okay, so you don't think Natasha should have stood a chance?
Because look, if the Black Order, right, is dealing with Scarlet Witch and the Vision, right, I don't see how a super soldier, a man with a Falcon and a Russian assassin is going to beat people who's beating people that can phase through things and can move things with their mind.
Well,
I mean, those people
okay.
came prepared to fight people who could move
yeah.
things with their minds and people who could phase through things. They had things to disable them. They weren't prepared for literally one of the best and well-trained assassins on the planet. Probably the
best. Not to mention the fact that, you know, Cap, Black Widow, Falcon, you know, everybody who was involved in fighting the Black Order, they, you know, these guys trained for this, you know, and then I'm sure that Cap was not, you know, in the time between Civil War and this, it's obvious that Cap has not been idle. Cap didn't take a vacation. He didn't grow the beard and say, I'm going to Disneyland later, Gator. He, you know, he's been active and trained
mm-hmm.
for stuff. They're trained to take on people who are able to do shit that an ordinary human can't. You know, they're trained to take on people more powerful than they are. So, and also, I mean, yeah, the Black Order are no slouches themselves, but they're also, you know, they also, you know, are probably not used to dealing with what they ended up dealing with. You know, probably, yeah, those stabs probably were done specifically, you know, to try and deal with someone using a gem or using this, you know, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, mind you, okay, chances are if Black Widow didn't have backup from Scarlet Witch and the head of the Dora Milaje, she probably wouldn't have lasted. And I mean, and as is, when Thanos shows up, when he actually shows up on the field, you know, basically like four with everybody. I mean,
mm-hmm.
some people get some hits in, like he was able to make contact with Thanos and, you know, smack him around a bit, but he went down. So, you know, it's not totally unbelievable, I would say. Next thing, though, because by the time Thanos hits the field in Wakanda, he already has 5 out of 6. Doctor Strange had to give up the time gem. Now, there's been a lot of theories. You know, there's been a lot of theories going around, you know, Strange was going, I'm not going to give it up. If it's between you guys dying, you know, if I have to let you die to save the time gem, then that's what's going to happen. But what do you think changed his mind? Trish?
Yes.
What do you think changed Strange's mind? Why did he give up the time gem?
He said that he saw 14 million whatever, you know,
yeah, 14,
different.
Something like 14,600,000. I remember the
yeah, and five, I think.
Yeah. It was big.
Different outcomes, you know. And there was only one time that they won. And so they have to do it however that one time, you know, went. And so it has to, you know, this has to be the only way to do it. The only way to defeat Thanos and stuff is they have to let him somewhat win. So, you know, there's got to be timey-wimey shit coming up next in the next half. You know, with the time stone, it's going to rewind it. People are going to come back.
Yeah.
Maybe not everybody, but it's
yeah.
A lot will be fixed. You know,
yeah. Well,
think
is,
of this as the Empire Strikes
yeah.
Back.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
Seems
yeah.
Like shit has gone, seems like shit has gone down. It's gonna,
yep.
You know, as long as we don't get freaking Ewok in the next one, yeah.
Probably not, but I do want to discuss. I do want to discuss the ending. We knew. I think everybody knew going in that there were going to be casualties. I don't think anybody. I think there were some people that did not imagine the scale that we'd get. Or they imagined a different kill count. We got
so far. Well,
I just
imagine
so
different
far.
People. I just imagine different
yeah.
people dying, you know. And
yep.
I just so because you know everyone was so certain that Captain America and Iron Man were going to die. You
yeah.
know, those were like the
yeah.
top two. And
yeah.
yeah. We know
well,
that did not happen.
Yeah, no, it didn't happen. Actually, it's been noted that the original Avengers survived. Iron Man survived, Cap survived, Thor survived, Black Widow survived, Hulk survived. Vision, let's see, Vision's apparently deceased because Thanos ripped the gem up from his head. And interestingly enough, Vision went kind of gray when he died. I'm kind of wondering if this is going to lead into Vision kind of adopting something like his white, the white look that he had through the 90s. I don't know what, Sean, you think he'll have that, or will they keep
no,
him
I'm not
colors?
Really sure. I don't even know if he's going to come back. I after seeing that, I think Vision's gone.
Okay, so you think he's dead?
Well. Wait. Shuri was working on him, and it looks like right before one of Thanos' kids came in, where she was, that she had made a copy of Vision and slipped it into her pocket before she ran. So
yeah.
I'm guessing he's going to come back. I'm guessing he's going to be back.
Yeah, I'm guessing he might be back. His personality may take a hit, though, because of the absence of the mind gem. But yeah, Vision apparently dies. We know that, okay, though the following people got turned to dust. All the Guardians, except for Rocket, got turned to dust. Nebula's still standing. We know Bucky and Falcon got turned to dust, which by the way, I find interesting because both of them in the comics had at one point, yeah, became Captain America. And I was talking to Trish when we were on our way back home after seeing it today. I kind of wonder if that's the directors and, you know, the powers that be at the Marvel movies kind of saying, hey, everybody keeps doing all these theories about, oh, we're going to kill Steve Rogers and Falcon's going to become Captain America or Bucky's going to become Captain America. Cut it out. Like, cut it the fuck out. Like, stop. Okay? Stop trying to put ideas in our heads. Okay? What's going to happen is going to happen. Let's see. Who else? The ones that surprised me were Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and Black Panther. Three characters that we know are getting movie sequels.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Spider-Man the Homecoming sequel is supposed to be the first movie of Phase 4. It is supposed to be the first movie that will start like the next chapter of the MCU.
So here's the question.
Right.
Do you think that...
Okay.
Do you think we're going to bounce back? Do you think it's going to be a flashback to before he got wiped out, or do you think it's going to be an actual continuation after Infinity War?
From what I've heard, and this is the thing that's interesting. Something that I heard is that, well, first of all, we know that for the whole coming that Spider-Man is traveling the world. Also been said that whatever happens in Avengers 4 is going to have an impact on the Homecoming sequel. I remember reading something that said the Homecoming sequel actually picks up from where the very end of Avengers 4 leaves off. Which tells me Spider-Man's going to be back. Strange is probably going to be back. Black Panther, I imagine those three, if anyone's going to come back out of this, if anyone's going to come back from turning into dust, it would be those three.
Yeah.
Because the movie's guaranteed, unless they're going to pull a fast one and have like, for example, Miles Morales be Spider-Man, or, you know, have Shuri take up the Black Panther mold, chances are all three are going to be back. It's just a matter of how. Now, of course, two other casualties that we see, but we don't see unless you get to the end credits, were Nick Fury and Maria Hill. Which, of course, brings to the big surprise, which is
Captain Marvel.
Yep. Nick Fury, when he dies, when he gets dusted, is paging Captain Marvel. And we know that Hawkeye and Ant-Man were not able to answer the call because they were under house arrest. So I imagine that at least Ant-Man and Wasp, that we'll see some sort of recruitment as far as those two getting called in to, you know, getting called in to be the reserves because of all the
right.
of what happened with Infinity War. And Trish, you were actually telling me on the car ride home, you think might be an interesting reason as why we stand the call. Care to share with the class?
Wait, you cut out. What'd you ask that again? Sorry,
yeah.
It cut out.
On the car ride home, you thought of an interesting reason as to why Wasp would join the Battle of Avengers 4.
Why, who would join the battle? It cut
Wasp.
Out right when you said that.
Wasp.
Oh, gosh, okay. Yeah, thanks. Sorry, I don't know why it's cutting out. Do I sound okay?
You sound
yep.
fine. I just think
okay.
Verizon's being assholes. Or T-Mobile, sorry.
Okay. No, it's Verizon. Anyway. But I said, what if towards the end of Ant-Man and Wasp, you know, there's rumors that they're going to find her mother, you know, because, I mean, they did cast Michelle Pfeiffer as her mother. And Michelle Pfeiffer is not, you know, she's not a young woman, so I don't think she would be her mother in flashbacks because she's obviously not the right age for that, flashbacks. So if it's her now, I'm just like, well, what if, you know, they find her mother and then either her dad and her mom or just even one or the other, what if they, you know, get dusted by what Thanos did? You know, it's like I can almost imagine, like, you know, them bringing her mom back and stuff, big reunion, everybody hugging and everything, mom and dad hugging and, you know, oh, I can't believe we finally found you. And then all of a sudden, I don't feel so good. And just, you know,
well, see,
dust.
My, you know,
that would
my,
piss the hell out of Wasp, you know. And,
yeah. Well, I've heard that Hawkeye is going to have it's said that Hawkeye's going down like a dark path. And that he would have a big reason for joining the battle. This leads me to believe in Avengers 4, we're going to find out that his family got turned to dust. So when Hawkeye shows up, he's going to be wanting to put an arrow right through Thanos' forehead.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I did the final casualty I heard about, and I was shocked to hear this, but the Russo brothers confirmed another casualty of the Infinity War. The Galaga Shield agent, the Shield agent
oh,
from the first,
no,
yep,
no,
the first, the Shield agent from the first Avengers movie that Tony caught up playing Galaga on the command deck of the helicarrier, he's been confirmed to have been turned to dust.
Huh.
Sadly, even worse is that he got turned to dust while he was in the middle of the best scoring game of Galaga ever.
Oh my!
Right
God.
Before he was going to get the highest score of all time. So, yeah, that's one of those things. Yeah, Thanos is going to have a lot to answer for.
That's
and
cruel.
It'll be interesting. You know, I got to admit, Avengers 4, well, first of all, we haven't even heard what the title is. Although, the interesting part, though, is the Russo brothers did say, of all the theories and all the guesses that people have made as to the title, the closest one is Avengers Forever. And we have had footage of what looks like Captain America in his first Avengers movie outfit, among other things. Like, I think Gwyneth Paltrow was in her Iron Man 3 look at the end of the movie where she had sports bra on the pants and she had one gauntlets. So it looks like there is going to be some timey-wimey shit going on. I guess we're just going to have to find out. The Russo brothers did say don't expect a trailer anytime soon because it's still being worked on. I'm just hoping we get something by the end of the year. I mean, even if it's like a quick little teaser or something. Because, yeah,
question.
I'm going to be very curious. Yep. Last question. Yep.
What do y'all think Captain Marvel's role is going to be in Avengers 4?
My guess? Well, first of all, there's a lot of people are theorizing how is it that she's going to be taking part in things, because her movie, which comes out next year in March, 2 months before Avengers 4, her movie takes place in the 90s. Okay,
yeah.
It takes place in the 90s, and by the way, this is also why Fury is using pager to get in touch with her.
Right.
the last time she was on Earth.
Yeah, maybe. Although it is looking very high tech, if you notice. Like, it's not just a straight up pager. There's a few doodads attached to it. But a lot of people are wondering how is it she gets to modern day. You know, with some people saying there might be some time delineation type of effect. Like, in other words, wherever she is goes, you know, time goes slower than, you know, here on Terra Firma. My guess is she's going to be, like, part of the cavalry. You know, I'm guessing that Avengers 4, what we're going to get is whoever's left standing, they're all going to gather together, and then Captain Marvel's going to show up. And, you know, it's going to be like, okay, this is Fury's weapon dealing with things. You know, she's been gathering up some power and some data. You know, you go to her. So, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised if in Captain Marvel, in like her debut movie, if the end credits scene or final scene itself is the end of Infinity War, you know, that end credits scene with Nick Fury, but from her point of view. Like, we have her wherever it is she's supposed to be, the beeper goes off, and she's like, okay, you know, I'm coming home.
Right.
I mean, what do you guys think? You think I'm on something?
For me, I feel like Avengers 4 is going some, like, I don't see how they truly step up to Thanos and beat him with all six gems without some type of cosmic stuff going on. Like you cannot step to him, because as far as I can see, this is the gauntlet. Minus a couple things, but this is close to cosmic gauntlet that we're getting. No one in this universe can even step to this man with three gems, level six. So how I see it is that it has to somehow follow the last two issues of Infinity Gauntlet, where like the cosmic entity show up and like have this cosmic battle, like throwing planets at him and whatnot. Because they mentioned the Living Tribunal in Doctor Strange.
And
the Celestials are confirmed to be a thing because of Ego, the Living Planet, and Peter. So cosmic entities exist. I don't think that they just threw in the names just for the sake of just throwing in names. I feel like somehow or some way the cosmic entities are going to have to deal with a piece in here. Now, with that being said, I feel like Captain Marvel is going to take the place of Adam Warlock, and it's just going to be that.
Okay, maybe. I would say chances are it probably – I don't know if we'll get the last two issues of Infinity Gauntlet in terms of having, like, cosmic beings show up and like, throw down with them. I would not – it would be interesting if at least one or two showed up, especially to kind of maybe steer the Avengers in the right direction as to where they have to go. But I expect, you know, what I'm thinking is if anything from the end of the Infinity Gauntlet miniseries comes into play, it would be that Thanos has the in the comics, Thanos had the flaw of the fact that subconsciously he feels unworthy of having like the level of power that he deals with, and that subconsciously he's always fucked up. You know, he's always left some sort of door open to be defeated. Like, for example, Zion, I know that you earlier mentioned how in the comics, Nebula grabbed the gauntlet because Thanos was like, had basically turned into his body alone. Complete with the gauntlet on his hand. Yeah. Eternity.
Yeah.
So anything from the comics is going to come into play. It's that Thanos subconsciously made a flaw in his plan. And that will come into play. You know, something will happen, and, you know, someone will realize, you know, maybe, you know, maybe it's going to be something that, you know, he will notice, you know, and go, wait a minute, Doctor Strange said something about, you know, there was an outcome where we win. Did anybody else notice this? I think this is going on. So, you know, that would be, yeah, you know, that is something that I think, you know, may come into play. But yeah, that, with that being said, you know, this, I have to say, Infinity War, one of the best, you know, one of the best Marvel movies, since the inception of the MCU. I mean, anybody agree? Anybody disagree?
I still have a hard time putting this over the first Iron Man.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Sean, what about you?
I think it was way up there. Honestly, I'm a huge 80s nerd. I like a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy. But this really, this topped that even with just the fact that it showed how ignorant Star-Lord really is when it comes to being a superhero.
Yep, yep. Trish?
It's definitely up there for me as one of the best. I still really, really love Doctor Strange.
Okay, which take top three, top five?
Infinity War is in the top three, I would think.
Ooh, nice. Who were three?
Doctor Strange, Infinity War, and I don't know. Maybe the first Guardians movie.
Hey,
yeah.
Wow, not yeah,
all right.
Definitely. But yeah. So yeah, definitely this is an awesome movie. That was both a final thought and a segue. Because yeah, next week, you know, we've been spending this 90 minutes or so with everybody listening, praising what we feel is a good movie. But you know what? Sometimes with Let's Be Reals and Keeping It Reals, the part of being real is we're not afraid to talk about shit we don't like. So yeah, next week, it's all going to be about bad movies. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Okay, tiny ray of hope, because we're trying to act like DC Comics and Marvel movies. There will be some movies on that list that are going to be so bad good. In other words, you can watch them because there's a certain type of delicious cheese about them. Okay, so that is going to be there. But we're also talking about movies that are horrific, that the only time you should sit down and watch them is if Homeland Security has arrested you and sent you to Gitmo, and this is how they want you to talk about terrorist locations. So yeah, there's going to be a talk about, you know, movies that, you know, we hold a soft spot for despite how horrible they are, and then movies that I basically want to sit the director down and go, no, no, bad, bad director, why did you do that? No, no, go sit in the corner, go sit in the corner, bad, no, no. So yeah, that,
we'll have to call
that
Tommy
is, oh yeah, well no, that's next week, so, but yeah. So basically, you know, that has been this episode. And yeah, we all, as you can see, we're rocking, so we survived. We all survived a finger snap in the universe. Iggy survived, because you guys have been paying attention to our Facebook page. You see that she has been posting photos and stuff from a convention she was going to. And, you know, maybe, hopefully she'll be with us next week and she can give us a bit of a rundown on what happened there. But yeah. So basically, thank you for being here, everybody. Again, congratulations on Sean for popping your Keeping It Reals cherry. Take a bow, sir. Awesome. How do you feel? How do you feel?
I feel great. Thanks for having
me.
It's been a great time.
Okay, you didn't. Yeah, you didn't. You know, the paddling on the ass, college frat style, that didn't touch.
Haven't turned to dust yet.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Okay, so from all of us here, you know, from myself, my wonderful wife.
Trisha.
Of course, Florida, our Florida guy Zion and new boy Sean. Just reminding everybody, you know what? Keep it reals. And Avengers Assemble. See, I said it, Captain. I'm still pissed. And we're off. We are done. Thank you so much, everybody. I love this episode. I almost wish it had been 2 hours. God, we could even do like an entire we could do like a half a day panel just talking about this shit. But yeah, indeed. Sean, welcome to the group.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the group, sir. I hope you had fun in your inaugural episode. But yeah, next week's episode is bad movies. I'm going to be meeting with Iggy sometime this week, and we'll be coming up with a bigger schedule, another schedule of shows and other stuff. So, keep an eye out on things. I will say this, Sean and Zion, I need you guys to be paying attention to the DMs, because there are going to be a couple of episodes where Patricia and I are not going to be taking part. We have some stuff we're going to have to take care of. So, keep an eye out, because I'm going to see about Iggy, if Iggy can take over at least one of those weeks. And, she may need backup, so, be sure to back her up. But, yeah, keep some attention, because, we're going to be doing some stuff. So, but thank you all for coming on. This was great. I love it.
Indeed.
I love it.
Trish, got my ears text. On.
Yep. Trish, I got your text. I have something else to take care of before I go downstairs, but fortunately involves the location that you want. So I'll bring those things down. All right, everybody. So I'm gonna end things. That's gonna hang everybody up. So I'll talk to some people next week. I'll talk to my wife in about a few minutes.
All right. Bye.
All right.
Later.
All right. Bye.
Easy, guys.
Bye.